Tyson Stelzer is our regular wine expert at Travel Writers Radio, and very busy he is, running wine events and travelling overseas each year. But COVID-19 had him reinventing his business in a year in which the wine industry itself has suffered three major body blows: drought, bushfires, and coronavirus. He explains to Graham Kemlow the state of the Australian industry, and he also offers his usual wine tip or two.
Well, it's a terrific welcome back to the show to Tyson Stelzer, our resident wine expert. We've missed each other for the past few months, Tyson, but good to have you there.
It's great to be back on. Good to hear your voice again, Graham.
Well, you too. You too, Tyson. You're up in Queensland. I'm in Melbourne, so I'm locked down,
yeah,
under curfew and everything. I can't even rush out to buy a bottle of wine at 8 o'clock. I've got to make sure I've got it in stock beforehand.
Yeah, really feeling for you and all our friends and the whole hospitality industry in general across Victoria right now. We're not locked down in Queensland, of course, but kind of feel like we are because I can't travel, and most of my work is interstate and overseas, of course.
Yes, of course, and we often talked about that during our little chats. And so you haven't been to France this year, or did you get away early in the year?
No, I didn't get there this year. We had Taste Champagne locked in for London 2 weeks after the world went into meltdown. So that hasn't happened yet, but hoping for next year. And I would have been in France researching for my next book, but that's not possible either. And Taste Champagne, our big national champagne series in Australia, was due to kick off today in Sydney. So we're hoping that might go ahead next year, but it's still uncertain. So
yeah,
time will tell.
Okay. Now, you've produced your book, which is like, it's a decade of commentary, isn't it?
Yeah, so I've put together a few different ebook publications during this time.
Right.
My Champagne Guide, the hardback edition, of course, came out late last year, and I've updated my, what I call my Champagne Guide Master Edition, which is the full index to all six editions of the book. So it includes scores and freaking windows and basic details on all the champagnes I've tasted over the past decade. So that's
right
out now as an ebook, and I've also released my new ebook called The Champagne World, which is a compilation of all of the latest champagne sales details and statistics and trends all around the world.
Okay.
In the past, I've done that just for Australia, UK, and Hong Kong, but I thought there's really an opportunity here to properly encapsulate how champagne is performing around the world.
Oh, that's interesting.
All the top 10 countries.
Well, how would Hong Kong be going now? Are they allowed to drink under the new one country, my way or the highway deal they've got going there?
Yeah, Hong Kong, I'm really feeling for our friends over there at the moment because they've been through all sorts of
strife, haven't they?
Challenges this year, quite in spite of the whole COVID scenario.
Yeah.
With regard to the relationship with the mainland, and that's meant that I haven't been able to do my events in Hong Kong this year either. Hospitality has been able to tick along throughout that for some of the time, but I understand that they're locking down again at the moment and facing some more challenges around COVID outbreak, not to mention the challenges within the political situation as well.
Yeah. How's the champagne market in Australia, Tyson? Not a lot to celebrate.
It's a good question. Champagne suffered a lot more this year than other wine categories for two reasons. Number one, it's premium, and in times like this, people drink more, but they tend to spend less. And second, that because champagne is the ultimate wine of celebration, and this is definitely not a year for celebrating. So champagne has taken a massive hit, and the statistics have just come out that between January and May, champagne sales were down 34% on last year globally.
Right.
So about a third, which kind of, if that trend continues for the rest of the year, and there's every suggestion that it will, they're estimating that champagne will be down 100 million bottles, which they're saying is a bigger hit even than the Great Depression itself.
Wow. And I imagine the Spring Racing Carnival is a great impetus for people to pop a cork, but there's not much chance that's going to happen this year, I'd say.
A lot of champagne sells at festivals like the Spring Racing. Champagne is also relies heavily on the travel industry. A lot of consumed in airlines and flight lounges and hotels and so forth,
yeah,
as well as obviously restaurants and so forth. So there's a significant increase. People drink more champagne home at the moment, which is great.
Yeah.
And that's keeping things moving. But Yeah, I think as with many industries across hospitality and entertainment and the arts, it's really a category that's going to suffer for quite a bit longer yet, I think.
Yeah, because you don't sort of notice through the year people buying, you know, bottles of red and white and champagne. The champagne does tend to be a special event purchase, doesn't it?
It always used to be the case. I think more recently, champagne's become more of an everyday drink for many of us, and it's not just an aperitif, but there's so much diversity in champagne. You really can enjoy it throughout the whole meal, as I do often.
Mm.
But that doesn't undermine the fact that a large amount of it is celebratory, and as you say, popular spring racing carnivals and such.
Mm. Are the cheaper types of sparkling, are they doing all right, or just generally that market's down?
I haven't seen the statistics on the cheaper styles. I know in the past decade, categories like Prosecco have increased massively. That was really starting to plateau at the end of last year. I haven't seen the numbers on how it's tracking this year. I know that Tasmanian sparkling, which is obviously a fantastic category, on average priced a bit cheaper than champagne. That's been going great guns for years now. They have trouble keeping up with demand from the level of production that they can produce. Mm. So I know that some of the categories with Tasmania have been doing well this year. Others, not so well, because those that rely on premise, of course, the restaurants, obviously have had a massive hit for their sales this year.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a very, very difficult thing. Now, the other complication that I believe from a couple of press releases I've seen, Tyson, that's affecting wine in Australia is the bushfire and the bushfires over the summer and things like smoke taint. Are you familiar with how that's impacted the various wine-growing regions of Australia?
Yeah, it's been one crisis or another this year, hasn't it? We're all facing the situations with the bushfires late last year and early this year. That obviously had a massive effect on the wine industry because grapes are susceptible to taking on the kind of ashtray flavours of bush smoke at the time when the grapes arrived on the vines, which coincided, of course, precisely when the fires hit a number of regions, particularly in South Australia and New South Wales and, of course, Victoria. As dramatic as the fires were and as significant as the headlines, and as much of it certainly did devastate a number of vineyards, the bigger factor, which is not widely reported because it's perhaps less sensational, is that Australia's been suffering from drought for some years, and the impact of the drought this year on the grape crops was significantly an order of magnitude at least higher than that of the bushfires. So while there are small pockets of vineyards in some regions affected by the fires, there was widespread lack of volume of production due to the drought, although some winemakers are now saying perhaps it wasn't such a bad thing because the demand is lower this year anyway, so it kind of evens out in a kind of unfortunate way.
So there's no way that if you were able to go to a restaurant, you'd be able to tell smoke-tainted wine. It wouldn't get to market, would it?
Australian winemakers are pretty savvy, and we're in a competitive marketplace now that trying to sell a faulty product is not something that anyone would do intentionally. The challenge is smoke taint, because it's sinister in that it can be invisible in the grapes and then appear during fermentation and then disappear, and sometimes only appear after the wine's gone to bottle.
Right.
Thankfully, the Australian Wine Research Institute, based out of South Australia, is one of the most technologically advanced wine institutions in the world, and their testing levels for the kind of telltale chemicals or smoke taint are very specific and very accurate.
Right.
The winemakers can submit something and get a more analytical result. Disregard a particular batch accordingly.
Oh, so they would do that as a matter of course, the winemakers, would they?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Okay, well, that's great. Thank you for that information. Now, if people out there are in their lockdown, but they can go out for some purchase reasons, apparently, for various things, what if they want to buy some wine at the moment? Have you got any recommendations?
Yeah, I think it's a trend that all of us are following during these times to support.
Not to excess.
Yeah. We all want to support the producers that we know and love.
Yeah.
And if you can't do so at a restaurant, then certainly do so from home. Buying direct from the producers, of course, gives them the optimum margin in terms of return and immediate return. Buying from independent retailers at the moment too is important. And of course, the chain stores have very good specials at the moment and taking advantage of the fact that more people are buying from retail too. So, make the most of those opportunities to stock up and keep the industry moving. My recommendations, I've just finished all of my tastings for my annual Australian Sparkling Report.
Right.
And Tasmania's come out again in shining lights as one of the great sparkling regions of the world outside of Champagne itself. So that'll be coming out as an ebook in the next few weeks.
Right.
And there'll be lots of great recommendations there for wines to taste. And in fact, a little sneak preview on some of the highlights there. The House of Arrah has long been kind of the flagship Australian sparkling. Those wines just look better and better all the time. In fact, I'm connecting with Ed Carr on Friday night for a webinar, and this is an opportunity for people to tune in if you'd like to pop a bottle of Arrah and hear the insights from the winemaker himself. Very humble, yet without question, Australia's most celebrated and certainly most awarded sparkling winemaker.
It's great,
Right. Where to start? I've done so much tasting in the last few months. Australia's in a great place in that, as you've said, we've suffered from so many things that have hit hospitality in the wine industry in this year and recent years, but the quality of the wines just gets stronger and stronger. New Penfolds release is coming this week, and as always, probably Australia's most important, certainly most anticipated release, and the wine that shines for me this year, there are many examples of, I know it's up on my website, free to download, but the real standout is the Yatana, which is a Tasmanian mostly, Chardonnay, that's been long touted as the white equivalent of Grange,
although
something like a fifth of the price. And the new release is 2018, an exceptional example of world-class Chardonnay.
Okay, that's one to look out for. And what would the cost of that be? Is it $100 or $200?
Yeah, around there, about $175, I think.
Okay.
It's the official release price this year.
Yep. Okay. I have tasted that, and I did enjoy it, actually. It's not something I do every day, I must add, but it was very nice. What about on the red?
You're right. It's certainly not an everyday price.
Yeah.
The cool thing now is that they have redefined another Chardonnay in the same hierarchy called the Bin 311, which used to be mostly Tumbaranda, or almost always exclusively Tumbaranda fruit. They've now kind of gone with the same regional model as Yatana. So it's mostly Tassie with a bit of Tumbaranda and a bit of Adelaide Hills, same as Yatana, but a fraction of the price. So for something that's kind of more of the $50 retail point, as opposed to $175, Penfolds Bin 311 is very much baby Yatana.
Beautiful.
Tyson Stelzer on a tough year for Australian winemakers with Graham Kemlow. More from tysonstelzer.com.